budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Where do you hear the best of female artists from all different genres? Right here on WHFR. Tune in to No Boys Allowed every Saturday from noon until 2 p.m. with your host, Lynn. That's me. That's 89.3 on your FM dial every Saturday from noon until 2 for No Boys Allowed, where we bring you the best of female artists from all different genres.
You're listening to the station that's making waves, WHFR, Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show known as Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Jeannie Karras. She's a Reiki master, energy healer, teacher, and motivational speaker. Jeannie, thank you for being on the show. It's good to see you.
Thank you very much for inviting me here.
Well, you're welcome. First of all, I want to thank you. You were part of our Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, and that's how I first met you. And I just want to thank you for being part of that fair. We do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It was a great part being a part of it, too.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be back next year?
Hopeful.
Okay, all right. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but it was great to see you. And that led to this appearance on the show, so that's great. Now, you're dealing primarily with Reiki. And one of the things that really caught my eye and I thought was really interesting is color Reiki. What is color Reiki?
Color Reiki is that you use the waves of the colors, because everything has a wavelength, and you use color to help the different chakras open up. And when you do that, they vibrate in the direction that they're supposed to be, and people usually get more energy flow. Mm-hmm. So you use the Reiki, the color, as you would like the crystals, mm-hmm. in the same the same thing, because the crystals and the color also radiate the same wavelength, mm-hmm. just like also the tuning forks. When you have the tuning forks, they go through the sound, and you have the stones, they go through the wavelengths, and also the color goes through the wavelength.
Mm-hmm. And each color has a different vibration, does it?
Yes. Every mm-hmm. color has a different vibration, a different wavelength, starting with your root chakra, which is the bottom, the base of our spine. And that is like the slowest, lowest vibration. And that is usually you go higher as you go up the scale. So let's say our spine is the scale, and you go from the root chakra to your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And I only concentrate on the seven major chakras.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do with color? I mean, do you put some kind of object that is that color?
Actually, I put fabric. Okay. I put pure silk fabric on people. But you can use color paper, you can use color cloth, but silk resonates the highest vibration. So I usually use the silk. Mm-hmm. And usually in the colors of the chakras, because each color has a different color, mm-hmm. each chakra has a different color. So you use the same color as the chakras resonate, and those also help to heal.
Mm-hmm. If you use the different color for a different spot, that wouldn't work.
No, mm-hmm. no.
Now, when you do that, what do you do? You put it on that spot, and do you say some kind of incantation, or what do you do?
Well, see, the thing is with Reiki, what really Reiki is, you become a hollow bone. That's how it's explained. You become a vessel that energy passes through you onto your recipient. So what I do is I pray to the one source, and I bring energy through me, which is white light through me, and it comes through me, through my hands, because our hands, our palms of our hands are chakras also. So it comes through me physically, through my hands, and my hands related to whoever I am working on.
Mm-hmm. So you actually touch the fabric with your hands? Or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily. What, you don't have to touch anybody.
Okay.
You know, so the thing is, and you do need like a space, a conduit between, let's say, the person and yourself, because sometimes if you don't have that, you shock them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like electricity, you know, and if you're too strong, you can really kind of shock somebody. But the fabric, usually I do it, it has to be done on the naked skin. So I don't usually do that at, let's say, my practice. I usually have people do it at home, but I show them how to do it. The same thing with the crystals. The crystals resonate better on your bare skin than they do when you have them on top of your clothing, because your clothing also has vibrations. Like whatever you're wearing has a vibration. So that also reflects off the chakras and the crystals and the other fabrics. So if you're putting the silk fabric, you have to be on white. So I tell people that they have to go home and put a white towel or a white linen on their bed and lie down, and then put the fabric in the perspective chakras, and then lay there for about 5 to 15 minutes so that the energy can go through and help them.
Mm-hmm. And how does it help them?
Because the vibration of the fabric helps, it vibrates to the frequency that the chakras are. So it helps the chakra, if it's blocked, mm-hmm. to resonate to its normal vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how. It's the same thing with the crystal. A crystal resonates to the chakra, and what it does, it helps the chakra maintain open. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, though, if people don't do anything other than just use the crystals or the fabrics or anything else, any modality that they use, if they don't change some of their habits, then it's kind of hard. You revert. See, it's like a chiropractor. You go to a chiropractor and they, you know, adjust your spine. But if you don't do something, you know, to help yourself, you're going to revert back to the old position. And it's the same thing with the crystals, the same thing with the silks. You know, your chakras will resonate for that moment. But let's say, I'm just going to use an example. Let's say if you're an alcoholic and your sacral chakra is blocked. Okay, you come and I unblock you, and then I tell you what to do when you go home. So you go home and you start, you know, doing some of these practices. But then you keep on, you know, drinking continuously. Well, it's going to close up again. It's not going to stay open. You have to do something yourself. You have to take action yourself. Those are just things to help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't heal us per se, but they help us to heal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do the healing ourselves. So in order for us to heal, we have to believe in ourselves that we can make this change and then do something, even if it's a very small action towards that healing. So let's say if I'm just going to use the example of an alcoholic. Let's say that you are really a bad alcoholic and you have to have a drink every single day, whatever. If you cut down how much you drink, then you're helping your body to kind of heal. And then you're using these other things that they will help you. They will strengthen you so that your will become stronger and your conscience will become stronger. And then slowly, slowly, you're going to be weaned off of it.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over at the same level and expect results.
Right. See, it's the same thing when you go to the doctor. You know, I'm really honest, it's exactly the same thing. The doctor gives you pills, let's say, to take care of a condition. So you take the pills, but then you keep on doing whatever is causing the condition. I mean, you're balancing everything out. It's not going to work.
Right. Or sometimes you don't take the full dose.
Right.
And it doesn't work. Yeah.
You know, you forget. You don't take it when you're supposed to. And then, you know, it's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. I just wondered why you kept looking at me when you were talking about alcoholics. But never mind. It's interesting that when people come to you, what do they generally ask you to do? I mean, do they ask you if they do have a problem with alcohol, or Is it a health problem, or generally what do people come to you for? A lot of different things?
See, the main thing that I do is I read your energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you by reading your energy field where I see that there is irregularities. And when I find those irregularities, I will tell you the irregularities that I find. And then usually, and I've been like 98% correct on the findings that I get with my clients, then I will tell them, okay, I see that this chakra is not functioning to its full potential. So you have to think of the chakras as like fan. If you have like a fan and you have it in low, it's not going to go any higher than that. It's going to vibrate at low. But then when it's open, the air flow to high, then you're having that energy flow through you, and it keeps you clean and clear, and you're able to do a lot more things. So when I read somebody, usually I have to do a reading so I can know where they are, unless they come from a specific problem that they really know what is bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can kind of help them with, let's say, the crystals or the fabrics, or telling them sort of how to help themselves, because that's really all that I'm doing. I can't heal anybody. You know, mm-hmm. I just pass energy. That's really what I do. I pass energy through me to the client.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be willing to receive the energy, first of all, and then to make the changes. And if they don't do that, then really nobody can help them.
Mm-hmm. But usually if people are coming to you, don't you find that they are open to a lot of different suggestions and the help that you provide?
I think a lot of people are curious because it's something new, and I think that they would like to try it. But see, the thing is, if you are just trying it, I mean, I don't think that you can really do anything when you just try. You have to be committed, just like anything else. If you're committed to something, you're going to do what it takes to get you where you want to be. If you're just interested, if you just show interest in what, you know, what is this? Because it's new, it's different. And yeah, you think it's kind of cool and you want to know if you're blocked, if you're not blocked, but then you don't do anything, then nothing is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can come back to me next week or next month, and you're still going to be blocked in the same areas.
Right. You know? So it's not a magic cure-all.
No, it mm-hmm. never is magic cure-all. I mean, there are miracles, mm-hmm. and I've had those happen, or I've had miracles do. They do happen, because when you pass energy, it's not only me, it's the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
So if the recipient is really, really in the state where they really believe, they can pull that energy through me, and there can happen, a miracle can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had several of those in my life so far that have happened.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of that?
Yes, I can. I had a babysitter that was taking care of my kids, and she had a daughter, and she had gone to Oakwood Hospital, and she was in the stage of miscarriage. And the babysitter knew that I've been praying all my life, you know, so she knew that I was doing this kind of healings. So she asked me if I would come and pray for her. So I told her, yes, I'll come and pray for her only if she wants me to. Because if somebody does not want you to pray for them, no matter how much you pray for them, they don't want it, so they're repelling it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to her house, and sure enough, she was laying on the couch with, you know, the hospital gave her a plastic bag, and they said, whatever, you miscarry, you bring it here, and we'll dispose of it. So I asked her, I said, do you want this baby? And she goes, yes. I said, does your husband want this baby? And she said, yes. I said, do you believe? Because that's really what it takes, is belief. I said, do you believe that God can heal you? And God is the life source, life energy. You can call it any name that you want. But to me, it's like white light that passes through us. And she says, yes. So I said, well, this is what I know to do. I know to pray over you, anoint you with oil, and then lay my hands on you. And when I do that, I said, energy will pass through me to you, and you will be healed, and you will carry the baby as long as you keep on believing that you will. So sure enough, she did. And I think now the child has to be around 25 years old.
Okay, well, the child made it. That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to me, that was like, that's a miracle. But, you know, it says we're not supposed to live by miracles, but by faith. And I think that's really the bottom line. If you believe in something, our reality is what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever we believe, we are living. And in order to change the reality, if we wanted to change the reality, we have to believe in something else.
Right.
So it's like if I had a mirror and I put it in front of you and I said, you know, Mike, look in the mirror. And I say, you know, what do you see? And you say, well, you know, I see myself and I'm wearing this and this. And I say, okay, but you say that you want to change. So I say, okay, well, in order for you to change, well, you have to go put something else different so the mirror will reflect something different. But you say, yeah, I do want to change, but you don't. You don't go and, let's say, wear a different suit or a different something to change the image in that mirror. So it stays the same. That's why our reality, whatever we're living every single day, is what we lived yesterday. And usually things do not change unless our perception and our experience changes.
Mm-hmm. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Jeannie Karas. She is a Reiki master, energy healer, teacher, and motivational speaker. Now, I'm just curious, what started you getting involved with Reiki? What was the thing that really, really interested you?
It's a long story.
Okay, well, we got time.
Okay.
A little bit of time, anyway.
Anyway, when I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a priest. But okay. I'm, you know, Greek Orthodox, so there is no women priests. So my older brother goes to me, you're silly, he said, you know, you're a girl, you cannot become a priest. So then I said, well, if I can't be a priest, then I'm going to be a nun. But in the meantime, when I was about 6 years old, my mother took us to go spend a night at a church. And when I was there, I saw the saint of the church. And I walked down the aisle with him, and I went up to the altar, and he was talking to me. I've always had the desire to help people. That's what I think I'm here to do, is to help people in any capacity that I can. So that was that experience. And then when I was a little bit older, I had an out-of-body experience where I saw myself out of my body. I mean, I could see my body plainly there. And I was in this miraculous cloud of peace and tranquility and light. And I didn't want to go back. But it came to me that I had to go back because I had not completed my mission. So from that, I had another vision, which this was like a real life vision to me. I was sitting there praying, and I saw Jesus, as I am seeing you, Mike. I saw Jesus, and he told me that he will anoint me to heal the people, his people, the people of the earth, all people, any people that are willing to listen and to understand that healing is for everybody. And Jesus is for everybody, and God is for everybody. There's really only one God. There is not two. There's only one. We just call him by different names. So Buddha and Muhammad and Krishna, all those are the same as Jesus was. You know, they all walked the earth. They were all physical. They all came in a physical form, but they all came from the same source,
mm-hmm.
which is spirit. And he said that I'm anointing you to go heal my people. And from that moment on, I just had it in me that was what my mission was, even though things happened to deter that. I mean, I didn't really start doing that. I mean, I was doing it on and off, but not, let's say, as I'm doing it now.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you again when you had that experience?
About 14.
14.
Yeah.
Now, when you had the out-of-body experience, was that a near-death experience? Was it because you were ill or anything like that?
No, I wasn't ill, but, you know, I wanted to meet Jesus. I wanted not to be here physically, really. I didn't want to be here physically. There was nothing wrong with me. I was perfectly healthy and fine, and I had just gone to, you know, to take a nap, I think, because it was in the middle of the afternoon. And after I fell, you know, I guess in a trance or sleep, whatever, I, you know, I could literally see my body there. My body was just, you know, there. Mm-hmm. And I was not in my body because I was way up, you know, in this white mist of cloud. Mm-hmm. And it was just so peaceful and so serene that I didn't want to go back. But I was told I had to go back because I have a mission. And I believe all of us have a mission, you know, and all of us are here to experience whatever we're here to experience and to grow. And not only that, we're here to help each other grow. And I think once we realize that we are really one, you know, all of us really are one, and that if we hurt somebody, we're actually hurting ourselves, then we will understand, and I think the earth will elevate. The mm-hmm. consciousness of the earth will elevate. Because, like, if I ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Okay. Uh-oh. This could be the end of the show, but go ahead.
If I ask you, Mike, who are you?
I'm Mike Holloway, host of Metaphysically Speaking. How's that?
I think that's wonderful.
Okay.
But, okay, you are, let's say, the host of the show, and let's say you are a male, and you might be a father, I don't know.
I'm not.
Okay, but I'm ahead. Just saying, you know, the thing is, we all take these positions in life, but really, who are you? I mean, is let's say, being the talk host, is who you really are?
I wouldn't say that necessarily. It's a facet of me, but yes. I don't know, you know, who I really am, I guess, in terms of what you're saying. I mean, how would you describe yourself? Who are you?
I'm a spirit, just like everybody else.
Okay.
We are all
spirits. So we're
all spirits.
Yes,
we are. We are all spirits, and we are having a human experience on this level of cold earth, in this matter, cold earth. But we really, honestly, are all spirits. Mm-hmm. And we came from the same source. You know, being one God, we came from God to have this experience, and then we all go back to God. None of us will ever die. And that's, I think, you know, something that people are always afraid of.
Right, right. Yeah, the current body you're in may end, you know, that
yes.
life or whatever, but yes, the spirit itself will go on. And I think that's what people don't understand, that even though you destroy the body, you don't destroy the spirit.
Right. And I think, you know, we will continue to do that until we evolve in consciousness, and the whole earth has to evolve in consciousness. I think we will continue to come here and have life experiences until we fulfill our missions, whatever our missions might be. And they are all different for everybody. You know, because I love art and I love healing and I love whatever I love, but that does not really define who I am. In all actuality, I am a spirit. And I am here to help other spirits realize that that's really who they are. You know, I am a mother. I have three wonderful children and one grandbaby. And I am a teacher. I am a painter. But that only describes my experiences so far. But really, you take those away, I am still a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. So once you started to, I mean, you realized that what your mission was, but what age were you, or you don't have to tell me your age, but at what point in your life would you say you really devoted yourself to Reiki and just spiritual modalities, things like that?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the secret behind Reiki.
Okay.
For me anyway, okay?
All right.
I want to ask you a question. What university did Jesus go to get his diploma?
The University of Life? I don't know. I don't know if there was an actual school or not.
No, there is no actual school. And I think a lot of the prophets and a lot of the people of old that were very wise really did not go to a facility. Not that I'm, you know, disputing facilities. I think that they are wonderful. But the thing is, when you come here with a knowing that you are meant to do something, no university can really hold you back. And the reason that I became a Reiki master was because I wanted people to feel comfortable and to feel that I was accredited to be able to do what I do. But I've been doing this since I was at least 16. you know, but I didn't get to be certified Reiki master until 2008. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of years in between there. But because people nowadays are not trusting, and I mean, I don't blame them. You want to have somebody that has some kind of credentials, mm-hmm. but credentials are not everything. You know, like some of the great artists, you know, never went to school.
Right.
You know, so where did they get their talent and ability? What, you know, education facility did they go to?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. I don't think that college is necessarily for everybody. And, you know, that's just not going to be your only avenue to success in life just because you have a diploma from some college. There's many, like you're saying, geniuses that are here that they know what they're supposed to do, and they just pursue it, they just do it, and that's their life passion.
Yes. See, the thing is, I believe that every single human being on this earth is a seed. I compare everybody to a seed.
Okay. And we just are planted, and hopefully we grow.
Some of us are never planted, though. You see, mm-hmm. that's the thing. Some of us have that potential in us to be great, to be, you know, we have the potential in us to really help the whole universe, the whole world. But unless we are broken and unless we are planted and watered and weeded, we never come to fruition at all. And I mean, I know that they have found seeds from the pyramids that when they planted them, like, what, 2,000 years later, they were sprouted and they, you know, brought forth grain. But they were dormant for so many years. And I think a lot of times the potential of every human being is dormant inside of them. And until they really have the desire to be who they really are, it will never open up. They will never sprout.
Mm-hmm. So self-will is part of the agenda, right? I mean, you just can't show up and say, okay, well, everything's going to happen to me. I don't have to do anything. You do have to put forth effort, correct?
Yes. I believe it's consciousness. Mm-hmm. I think whatever you're conscious of in your reality, that is what you get out of life, out of anything. So I think if you're conscious of being, let's say, a student or a teacher or whatever, that's all that you're going to do, which is fine. But you're not really tapping into your most potential that is in you, because there is greater potential in all of us to help humanity. Really, that's what we are all here to do, is to help you, humanity unite and to be one. And when you see all these things happening all around us, you know that we have a long way to go and we need people.
Yes, we do. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, we need people that will, I think, step up and come forth and not be afraid. I think fear is such a great destroyer that mm-hmm. it destroys everybody's dreams and, you know, and everybody, what they aspire to be is because they're afraid, or they're afraid of what people are going to say or people are going to do. But, you know, sometimes you have to get off from there, because the opposite of fear is faith. So you have to believe, and that's the bottom line to everything. Whatever you believe is your reality. That is what you're living,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of us.
Right. Yes, I think fear can be a strong detriment to anybody achieving their goals or what it is they're here to do.
Yeah. I don't think that you can ever really actualize your full potential if there is fear in you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to not be afraid, because if you don't take a step forward, you never will. And you're the only one that can do it. Nobody can push you. It has to be from the inside pushing out. You know, I mean, it says that our light is in us, not outside of us. So we have to search and get the strength from inside of us and then manifest that into the world.
Mm-hmm. Once again, briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Jeannie Karas. She's a Reiki master, energy healer, teacher, and motivational speaker. Now, when you work with people, do you try to tell them that you can change, you can improve, but it is up to you? You really stress that a lot?
I do, because that's really the only way that somebody will ever change or heal. You know, the any healing, and I don't care what kind of, you know, if you go to a regular doctor or any of the other modalities, all healing is self-healing. It's just realizing that you are very, very powerful. And I think a lot of us don't realize how powerful we really are, what potential and power there is inside of us. And that really, if we set our mind to do something, that we can really do it. Mm-hmm. And no matter what the obstacles are, you know, the universe will produce a way, because our thoughts really do become things. You know, maybe not the way we like, but they do become things. I mean, they have recorded our thoughts in, let's say, controlled environments where people can actually see thought waves. They have taken, like, somebody, let's say, in anger, and how they are spewing that anger, and how far that anger goes, and how dark it is, and how it not only hurts the person that is angry, but also the person that it is attacking, or the person that is around that energy, is like negative energy. And I think when you are in that low negative energy, you're the only one that can pull yourself out of it, but you're also spewing it onto the world and to everybody else. And those are waves. It's like the radio station, okay? If I, let's say, wanted to put this radio station on the dial, I would have to dial that radio station. Otherwise, there's all kinds of other waves that go through. So mm-hmm. in order for me to get this particular radio station, I would have to put it on that dial. But that doesn't mean that that's the only wavelengths that go through. And that's what I think people really don't understand, that there's constant waves all around us at all times. And we're tuning in or tuning out in depending on what level of consciousness we're in, the good stuff or the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to you, clients, do you work with them? Maybe they're frustrated, maybe they're not happy, and they say, Jeannie, I'm not happy, I don't know what to do. And then do you start working with the Reiki, or do you try something else? How do you approach that?
Well, first, I really honestly look at their energy field, because that will tell me where they are and where they're coming from their energy field, where their blockages are. Mm-hmm. And from their blockages, I can tell if they are having problems with family, if they're having health problems, whatever issues they're having, I can tell by reading their energy field. And once I do that, then I can help them, if they're able, if they're willing to have like a course of action, how they can help themselves, because that's really what all I can do, is try to help them help themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell somebody until I'm blue in the face to do something, but unless they take actions themselves, it will never happen.
Right, right. People have to be motivated themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, action is the, they say that action is the bridge between the thought world and the reality. So if you never take action, you have all these great thoughts and all these, you know, dreams that you want to do, but if you never take action, they will never materialize.
Mm-hmm. Do you try to inspire people to somehow take action, though?
Yeah, I really, that's what I hope to do, is to inspire people by telling them, you know, really honestly, depending on what level and where they're blocked, is first how to unblock themselves, and then giving them like small steps. Because, you know, if you're going north, if I'm driving north, I'm driving north, the moment that I realize I'm going in the wrong direction and I turn around, I'm going south. So that moment, that decisive moment where you're going the other direction, you're going towards healing, because you're going towards the opposite of what you are. And on this planet, on this earth, we have the positive and negative. Wherever there is a positive, there's always a negative. So let's say if you are in ill health, okay, all you have to do is turn that around. Like they say that if you turn your back on the ill health and start just doing one small step towards getting better, you will get better. The same thing with, you know, people with finances. If you, let's say, are poor, or you don't have what you want to have, if you stop looking at what you don't have and focus on what you want and take one tiny step, that's all it takes, is one tiny step. That's that turning around where you're going north and all of a sudden you turn yourself around and you're going the opposite direction. And if you just take one step, that's, and then another step, and then another step, you will finally get to your destination.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's trying to change the energy around, because again, I think what happens, people get so comfortable doing what they're currently doing that they're afraid to change, again, part of the fear, but also, again, they think it's impossible, it's too hard, I can't do it. What do you say to a person like that?
See, when I try to make them realize who they really are. If you realize that you are a spirit and that you are here for a short period of time to gain experiences and that you are connected with God, you are connected with God because, I mean, we are created in the image and likeness of God. If we're created in the image and likeness of God, then aren't we like God?
I would assume so.
Right.
There's that connection, yes.
Right. So if we are like God, okay, maybe we're not with a big G, but with a little g, but we still have the same attributes of God because he created us in his image and likeness. But we feel ourselves to be small. We feel ourselves to be weak, and that's why we are. If we felt ourselves to be strong, and to be that we can do anything we set our mind to it, then we could do it. But it's a matter of changing direction. And I think the best way to do that is by telling yourself, I am strong. If you're sick, I am well. You know, if you're poor, I am wealthy. But you see, when you tell people to do that, a lot of times they will laugh. You know, a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, well, it's hard to believe that because it is, you know, 180 degrees opposite of what they were either led to believe or conditioned to believe or whatever the case may be. It's hard to change.
Yes. And I think that's really the hardest part, is to understand how powerful each and every one of us is. We are so powerful that, you know, we could move mountains, really.
Yeah. Okay. Physically or mentally, or how
Both.
Would that work? Both. Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, again, too, I mean, you do hear about the certain situations where a young child is trapped underneath a car and the mother sees that and they go lift up the car or whatever because the adrenaline is pumping and stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, most things are possible. Now, getting further on with your career, did people come to you or did you go to people to let them know that you were doing Reiki, or how did that work out?
Well, actually, I am a motivational speaker, and mm-hmm. I do speak at the Unity Church once in a while, and I've talked to people through there, and then I go to different churches. You know, I am a non-denominational person, even though I was born into the Greek Orthodox faith. I believe in all faiths,
mm-hmm.
you know, except demonic worshiping.
Yeah.
I kind of don't go that route. But the thing is, I believe that there is truth in all religions, and I think they all lead to the same thing. It's just a different route of how we approach things.
Mm-hmm. What Unity Church do you speak in?
The one in Lake Orient.
Okay. I haven't been to that one. I've been to a few others, but that is not one I've been to. How often do you speak there?
I think about every 3-4 months, you know.
Oh, okay.
I go there and I usually give them, you know, something that I am currently working on that I feel that it's important for people to, you know, to understand or to see a different perspective, because they are open. That's mm-hmm. really the thing. You know, a lot of churches are not open, you know, to energy and to, even though scientists have proved it, that, you know, we are really all energy and everything is energy and mm-hmm. you cannot destroy energy. Energy is just transformed. And I think when people honestly realize that we are all energy and everything around us is energy, it's just that the molecular structure is different, then they will understand that we are all really going towards the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, which is to transcend and not to have to have this physical experience again.
Right. Well, again, we've just been talking about this, and I think that depending on which life it is, you have different lessons every life to, you know, learn and accomplish certain things so you can progress, so your spirit can progress and move up the ladder, so to speak. Is that what you think? Is that how you feel with, I guess you believe in reincarnation, I would assume?
I do. I think that we come back until we learn the lessons that we need to learn. And I think if we don't learn what we came here to learn, that we will come back and, you know, repeat. You know, it's just the same thing, you know, when you do the same mistake over and over and over again, you know, you got to learn from it. But if you don't learn from it, you know, you're eventually going to have to do it again, you know.
Right. It's like remedial training or whatever. You get, you know, put back a grade, you know, put back in the same grade. I think that happens. And I think that people do usually progress. And once their mission's over this lifetime, do you feel that they have learned what it is they were here to learn that lifetime?
I think if they do not do what they came here to do, I believe that we all choose our parents when we come here. And I believe that we also choose our mission. And we know what we want to do. It's just that we're not emotionally, physically, spiritually conscious of it until we start getting into, let's say, more things, until we meditate, until we pray, because meditation and prayer are sort of similar, to understand who we really are and what our mission in life is. What is our purpose? You know, why are we here? I think a lot of people need to ask themselves those questions. Why am I here? What am I to do? Am I just here to be, let's say, a mother, father, teacher, brother, whatever, you know, whatever our current occupation is, because that's really what it is, our current experience. You know, if that's really all that you think that there is, then that's all that it's going to be. And you really, maybe you have learned some lessons, but as I said, if you don't learn them, you will continually getting the lessons, but they're going to become harder and harder. If you don't learn the first time, then the next time it's going to be the same lesson, but it's going to be more intense. Mm-hmm. And if you don't learn at that time, it's still going to be intense.
It never gets easier, in other words.
No, it does not get easier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to just go ahead and, you know, do whatever is in front of you and get it done.
Right. Well, then just the fact that people that are put in your life, too, are people that you're here to deal with for whatever reason. They may present a problem or a situation or a challenge for you. Do you feel that that is true?
See, I believe that every person is a mirror of you.
Really?
Yes, I do. Every person in your life that is giving you a hard time, you should thank them, because
that's not easy to do, but go ahead.
Because they are your teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to help you overcome whatever difficulty you have with that person. And I do believe that if you realize that, okay, why is this person aggravating me? Because we do. I mean, I get aggravated too, just like everybody else. And then I have to stop myself and say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this person? What is this person trying to teach me? Because they say that a part of you is in this person that is aggravating you that you need to uproot from yourself.
Right. But aren't there situations where it's very hard to do that? I mean, you just really get so mad at a person that no matter how you try to be open about it or whatever, you just can't accept that person.
No, but I think if you can't accept that person, then another person will come into your life that is going to be just as hard or harder, as I said.
Really?
Right? Okay.
So you better get over it the first time, right?
It's better if you can, you know.
Right. But again, you know, you really don't know. I mean, you may know on a spiritual plane, but when you're going through it, you don't always know what it is you're supposed to be going through. And again, I think also when it gets a little more difficult, people just give up. They say, what's the use? You know, I'll always be this. I'll always be that. I won't be the lawyer that I've always wanted to be, or the, you know, writer, or whatever it might be. Do you think that people sometimes just give up?
I think that they do because they see themselves as being small. They really do not see how great they really are, that the spark of goodness, greatness is in them. And I think that we can't quench that. I do believe that we can't quench it because we don't recognize that it's in us. And we feel that, you know, life is harsh And because we feel life is harsh, life will be harsh. That's when you need to do the turnaround and say, I mean, even though you don't believe it at the moment, if you keep on saying to yourself, you know, I'm going to do this, or I am this, or it will change, it will eventually change. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of times, I think, where people do not understand, like, the law of attraction. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, it doesn't work. But it really honestly does work. It mm-hmm. works in every level. But I think that people are missing the link of how it is to work it, to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to that extent, how do you motivate yourself? Do you do it through meditation or affirmations or a combination of both? Or what are all the different things you use to, I guess, achieve the goals that you want to?
Actually, I do both. You know, I do pray and I do meditate. And I love taking walks in nature, because nature is really our greatest teacher. And if you take time, you know, whenever you're blocked, this is what I tell people to do. Whenever you're stuck in a mode that you really don't want to be, walk outside. By walking outside, and if you can do it barefooted, it's better, because you're connecting with Mother Earth a lot better, and she gives you energy, believe it or not, because our soles do block unless you envision yourself to be connected. Our shoes block that energy from coming through. But if you can walk in nature or be in nature and then stay there quiet. See, a lot of times we are afraid to be quiet and to just hear what it is that we need to hear. The answer will come. But if we're so busy, see, our mind, what we don't understand is whatever the tape that plays in our mind continuously, that's what we're living by. So we're living whatever, and they say that we live the same thought over and over and over and over again, continuously, every day. And that's why every day and the other day and the next day is going to be exactly the same, because our thought patterns that are inside our head do not change. So we need to put thoughts inside our head, not necessarily verbalize them, but inside our head. They have to start getting to be different in order for our reality to change. And our reality has to change. It's a law. Mm-hmm. Just like gravity. You know, gravity is a law. You mm-hmm. know, that if you have an apple, it will drop down. It will, you know, land into the ground. And it's the same thing. Our thoughts really, honestly, do become the things in our life. And they become so with the things that are constantly in our head. And we're constantly over and over and over and over saying the same thing. So we need to change that tape that's inside our mind. And we have to be conscious to do it. A lot of times we'll do things unconsciously. You know, have you ever driven a car?
Right.
And then blacked out, and all of a sudden you are where
right.
you're supposed to be.
Right. You're right. at work, and all of a sudden, yeah. how did I get here? Right. You really have to think about the, you know, route that you took and whatever else. Right. But now, how does a person do that? I mean, I know you have affirmations. Is that what you suggest a person do? Just, you know, positive affirmations to get that tape changed and get something positive going?
I do have a couple things that I could suggest. And one is, first put something that you really, really, really want. Okay? And if you take the example of, let's say, somebody, it's planting a seed, okay? You do not see you do not see how that seed breaks. I mean, the seed has to explode and break open in order for it to germinate and mix with the soil and become something. So if you want to really become something or do something, put it in your head and leave it there and continuously tell yourself, this is going to happen. I am this. I am going to do this. Not I'm going to, I'm sorry. I am this. You have to be present tense now. Not I'm going to, because I'm going to is always in the future. So you don't want to do I'm going to. You have to believe that you have to be an actor. If you can be an actor to what you right. want, then you can achieve what you want.
Right. Fake it till you make it, right?
There you go. And that's true, because really, honestly, all of us are actors on this earth, on this plane. We're all
yeah.
actors.
We're all playing a role,
yes,
right?
We are. Mm-hmm. We really are. So change the role that you are playing so you can change your reality. But the thing is, you have to make it real, just like an actor on TV makes it real. Like when he gets up on the stage, he's not, let's say, whoever, you know, Bruce Lee, he is the actor doing these moves, doing whatever action his part tells him to do. So put the part that you want to achieve. Write it down on paper. Really write it down on paper exactly the way that you see it in your mind that you wanted to achieve it. And then run through it like as if you were the movie actor, you know, and then do something physical on the material sense of the word to bring that to pass. Let's say, let's say I can do an artist, okay, because I am an artist. Okay. So let's say you want to become an artist, right? Okay, so you're going to go get a canvas, you're going to go get paints, you're going to get brushes, even though you're not, you know, you don't know exactly what you're doing. If you take a move towards the right direction, things will come towards your way. You're going to meet somebody that maybe can help you, or you're going to see lessons that you can take, but you have to be the one that takes the first action. And to me, it's like, if you write down exactly what it is you want, then if you will, in the morning and at nighttime, go through what it is that you have written, but it's not just like saying it. If you just say it, nothing happens because you're just saying it. You have to visualize yourself. Okay, we're here in the studio, right? If I ask you, Mike, go into your kitchen, open the refrigerator, and get a glass of orange juice or whatever, can you visualize yourself doing that?
Yes.
Okay, that is the step that they need to take, just like that. Even though you were here with me, you can go into your kitchen and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the secret to the secret.
Mm-hmm.
People have to really honestly understand how to do that.
Right. Again, I just want to let everybody know that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Jeannie Karas. She is a Reiki master, energy healer, teacher, and motivational speaker, and also an artist. And you have some of your work here. How did you become an artist? I mean, was it just something what you just described? You just got a canvas and a brush and some paint and started, or how did that work out?
Well, I wanted to be an artist from the time I was very, very little. And, you know, I came from Greece. I was born in Greece, so my dad did not want me to become an artist. So he would encourage me to become anything else but an artist, so I couldn't really paint and draw inside the house. Plus, I didn't have any material. So what I would do as a young kid, I would go outside and I would collect dirt and twigs and flowers and grass and grind them up to make my color. And I would also raid the refrigerator for anything that gave me color, or the medicine cabinet. And I would take those things downstairs in the basement and take my dad's old Greek newspapers and just kind of sketch and draw on them. And then I would take them and crumble them and put them in the garbage.
Right. So you didn't get found out or anything that, you know, you might be punished for.
Right.
Right. But again, it was something that you felt innately that this was something that you were really interested in and wanted to do that. Now, are you able to, do you make a living from this at all or anything like that?
Actually, I have made a living off of it. And just the last, I would say, 8 years, I had my mom sick, so I was taking care of her, so I have kind of put it on the side. And then sort of the spiritual things are taking more precedent now than the art stuff. I do have the studio, and I do have my paintings at the studio, and I do paint, but I don't paint like every single day. But I do have always a painting on my easel.
Mm-hmm. You're so always working on something.
I'm always working on something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now getting back to the Reiki, I mean, how would a person improve their life by putting a color on a different part of their body? I mean, a chakra center. I mean, what is it? Is it just vibration that might help that person? Again, if they're willing to change and do something like that, is that how it works, Jeannie?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that there are vibrations everywhere. We're just not tuning into them. And what the crystals or the fabric does is concentrate those vibrations on that particular chakra to help it move in the direction that it needs to, or to help it flow in the direction that it needs to. And I think that if people really honestly wanted to help themselves in whatever area they're blocked, they could do that with either crystals or fabrics, or even by doing Reiki on themselves, which you can do, you know, to help yourself heal, you know. And those, you can always go to a class and find out how to do it, or I can teach somebody how to do Reiki on themselves.
Do you do it on yourself?
Yeah. I do it on myself, but I also like to have somebody else do it on me, just perspective, you know. But if I do have a problem, I will be the first one to, you know, go to somebody and ask them to do something, you know, because obviously I feel that I'm blocked somewhere, or I'm not doing something, or anytime that I feel low, you know, usually I'm never low. So when I ever get low...
Which doesn't happen often. I get that.
Right. You know. But then, you know, as I said, to me, nature is my best teacher and has taught me most of the lessons that I know. And I recommend people, honestly, I mean, like most of the kids nowadays, sad, all they're doing is sitting inside and, you know, using their tablets or phones or whatever. Yeah. And they don't really go outside the way that they used to.
No, they don't. They sit inside and play their games or whatever, you know. Go to Facebook or whatever the latest, I don't know, app is, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
I'm just curious, can you please tell us how to get a hold of you if anybody wanted to reach you?
I do have a studio, which is in Inkster, on Inkster Road. They could drive by. The address is 351 Inkster Road. It's between Cherry Hill and Michigan Avenue. They could come by there, or they can reach me by phone, which is 248-210-9428, and I would be more than glad to talk to anybody.
Now, when they set up a Reiki appointment, how long does an appointment usually last?
Usually, for just the first reading, it usually will take about 15 minutes to a half an hour.
Okay, and then just depending on what kind of work they need, it might increase or decrease?
Yes, that's usually how it goes. I mean, when I find wherever they're blocked, and then I give them suggestions on how to help themselves unblock, then it's a matter of, you know, what they do with the information. And if then if they need a second appointment, then they will come for a second appointment, and we keep on going until they feel that they have cleared whatever is in, you know, in their system or in their aura,
right,
you know, or in their energy field.
Does it happen where people come to you for one thing and then you find blockage in another area and you suggest, well, maybe this is really the problem, or you need help with this area as well?
That happens quite often, actually, to be honest with you, because people come and they say that they think that they have a problem here. And then when I read their energy field, I will find that either past traumatic experiences that they have not cleared, that they're still blocking them, which happens quite often, something that happened when, you know, maybe they had a car accident like 15 years ago, or something physical happened to them, you know, sometime back, but it's still in their energy field, which is blocking them from receiving pure, clear energy now. So if they don't get that stuff removed, it will stay there. But the biggest thing that I think that I find that blocks people is unforgiveness. That is the biggest thing that blocks, I would say, about 80% of the people is unforgiveness. You know, they can't forgive a lot of times, and it's not like they cannot forgive somebody else. They don't forgive themselves.
That's very true. What one piece of advice or information would you like to leave with everybody?
That they are very powerful beings, and that they can do anything that they put their minds to it, and not to be scared, not to be afraid, and just to take a leap of faith. And if they're going north, just turn around and just take a small step towards south.
Right. Sometimes easier said than done. But thank you very much. I appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I'm back, and I just want to thank my special guest for this month, Jeannie Karras. She is a Reiki master, energy healer, teacher, and motivational speaker. It was a very interesting interview. She's very passionate about what she does, from what I could tell during the interview. I also want to thank my producer for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Mark Sheeler. I always appreciate all the help that he provides. Be sure to join me next month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. In the meantime, I just want to thank you for listening and have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Yo, guys and dolls out there. You're at the Malt Shop with Daddy G here in WHFR. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s. And so grab your favorite squeeze, hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.